friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He is Dan Manigan. I'm Andy Baskin. This hour, we've got a ton of interviews coming up. Merrill Hodge is going to join us, former running back. We're going to talk to him at 11.20. Tom McCarthy is calling the game. NFL on CBS. He'll be with us at 11.40. Coming up next hour, man, Chris Ostenheimer will talk Guardians with us. Tim May, 12.40, will talk a little Buckeyes with us. We also have Two Keys and a Lock coming up. And you know at 1.40, which is a little bit off here, but at 1.40, we will do quick predicts. So you tell us the score of the Browns-Ravens game, and then you'll give us Monday morning's headline. Again, that is at 1.40, and it is well-known now in its 14th season, by the way. Do you know that, right?
It's a beautiful thing.
We'll do quick predicts at that point. If you want to hop in on the show, 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Jeff is off today. Dan is in. Can the Browns win this game and how? I want to talk about that in this segment. But Dan, first of all, I'm gonna 3 minute story here, just because this story to me is fascinating. It has nothing to do with the Browns game, but it is. You tell.
So I'm doing grocery shopping yesterday, and I'm driving back home, and I look over to my right and I see a bunch of kids all wearing the same shirt. And I go, okay, what?
A team?
Yeah, it's got to be some kind of a team. Yeah. Got to be something like that going on. All of them under the age of 10.
Okay.
Again, I'm doing this from my car, so it's just kind of...
You're driving, or you're going home, or you're going
driving
to
driving home, doing grocery shopping, you know, stopping at a couple different stores to get stuff as miscellaneous sales going on.
Okay.
And I see a bunch of kids wearing the same shirt running.
Okay.
I go, oh, that's interesting. Drive by a little bit farther, realize they're running in a graveyard. I see headstones all around me.
Wait, what?
Yeah, headstones all over it. These kids are like doing a lap around an old graveyard. Like, you know how like sometimes you'll drive and you'll see a bunch of houses, then there'll be a graveyard and a bunch of houses that'll follow it there. It's not like one of the super big cemeteries
that's,
you know, nice. It just seems like one of those that's been there for a very long time. They're running in a graveyard. If you're a runner, give us a call. Because is this a thing? Do runners run in graveyards?
Okay, well, let's be honest.
I've never heard of this.
Can we be honest? I mean, running in a graveyard is probably pretty safe.
That's true.
How are we going to run into? And if you're running on the outside of the graves, right, who's going to bother you?
Right, and they were on the cement part of it. They weren't, like, running, you know, back and forth. You know,
it was brilliant.
Exactly. They're just going around the graveyard. Like, is this a thing? You run in a graveyard?
Dan, like, I can say in college I used to run and take walks in the cemetery next to campus.
Really? You used to run and take walks at the cemetery?
Was that at Syracuse?
Did it creep you out at all?
It doesn't bother me, which Anthony, is probably why.
Was that, that's Anthony Lund popping in here too, by the way. Is it, was that at Syracuse?
Yeah.
Was the football team in the graveyard while you're running around or no?
Wow.
Too soon? Too soon?
That's hurtful.
Tough game last week, man. Tough game.
They won.
They won, but still kind of a tough game. But I would expect more against UConn.
Like Dan said,
there was an offensive lineman that transferred from Syracuse over to UConn. Man, I think he had Orangeman's number last week.
Like Dan said, nobody's going to run into you. Like during the day, it's very safe. Even like at dusk, it's safe. It was peaceful. This was a nice place to run around.
It's just kind of weird. Why?
Was there anything weird about it?
I mean, they were all wearing the same shirts as they were running, which was made kind of weird in itself.
Keeps the ghosts away, doesn't it? If you're all wearing the same shirt.
It's just not a place that I think you would, and especially a bunch of kids to have them go run. Like, again, I guess it's
safe. Do you
know
how much faster your time would be if you had Jason Voorhees running behind you? That old school, old Gary Cheever's mask on?
If you're getting haunted the whole darn time, yeah, you probably would move pretty darn fast.
I'm just saying, man. Let's be honest. I mean, most cemeteries are pretty places.
I'm
telling you. If you've never been to Lakeview Cemetery, you have missed a monumental part of Cleveland history.
I'm not a runner or anything like that, so I don't know these things. Like, is this like a secret running thing of like, hey, some of the best paths you're going to run into in Cleveland happen to be in cemeteries? It just seems kind of weird that you would have people weeping while you're sitting there, you know, working off the cheesecake you ate last night.
Maybe they could do a cemetery marathon to raise money for something. That'd be kind of cool. You could easily do a track meet at Lakeview, although there's always people there. But have you ever been to Lakeview? Now you got me on this Lakeview.
Oh, Lakeview's very cool. I have been to Lakeview.
I mean, you got a president in there for, after all. You got Garfield in there. You got Rockefeller in there. Man, there are a ton of famous names.
Social media mentions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads like Chuck does. I taught my daughter how to drive in a cemetery. I get that. Like, I guess that's a little less creepy than like getting your laps in a cemetery. I don't know. It just was really weird seeing a whole bunch of kids running in the cemetery like the track team.
It's not like they're running at dawn or right before dawn or anything like that, right? I mean,
it's kind of bizarre.
I don't know. You don't think it's disrespectful, do you?
I mean, nobody.
I'll be honest with you. I'd be fine if there were kids running after I'm gone. If I'm pushing daisies, you guys can all run by my grave.
I guess I'm dead. I don't care what happens.
You know, I don't know. I told you, like, my brother and my dad are near Les Levine, where he's resting. And it is amazing to me the things that people leave on his gravestone. It makes me laugh so hard. And I know Les would appreciate it. There's baseballs on there.
I believe that.
There's tons of golf balls.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Is this morbid that I'm saying this? But no. It makes me smile.
Yeah.
It makes me think, man, what an impact this guy had on people's lives that someone would say, I'm going to take a golf ball and I'm going to go leave that by Les Levine. Think about Rockefeller, man. People throw money at that. Not throw money. They leave money, pennies and quarters and nickels and dimes on his gravesite.
That one I don't totally get because he's got enough. Family's holding up.
Yeah. No, it's not about him. It's family's about you. Okay. You want that same kind of luck the Rockefellers had. Let's not. I mean, don't kid yourself. All right. Speaking of out of the grave now, let's talk about how we can get the Browns out of the graveyard. Okay? How do they win this week? This is not two keys in a lock, by the way. What do they need to do?
They got
to
find explosive plays. It was the most frustrating thing watching that Bengals game was the fact that they couldn't gain more than 10 to 15 yards at any chunk. There was no giant chunk 20-25-yard run, 20-25-yard pass. Like, that's where, if I'm Kevin Stefanski and I'm Tommy Reese and that whole group, I've been in the lab trying to figure out, like, okay, if this is the formula and they figured out the formula in week one, what in God's green earth am I doing to make sure that I can find success against whatever the Bengals were doing? Because other teams are just going to copy it. You have got to find explosive plays. You've got to find explosive plays. That was so frustrating. Watch them. It was like trying to watch a Guardian score runs. Like, it was just like, okay, here's death by 1,000 paper cuts. Let's hope we can have an 18-play drive that gets us in the end zone. That's the number one thing. It's like, if you want to win this game, you've got to find explosive plays.
Do you know what 824 is? Want to guess?
The Lost Rush album?
No, that'd be a great name for a Rush album. No, that's not a bad idea. No, 824. That's the number of yards the Ravens had against the Browns last year. 824. Wow. They had 387 in the game in Cleveland and 437 on January 4th in Baltimore. My point is, as you're sitting here and we're all saying, where are the explosive plays? Where are the downfield plays? Where are they? I'm down with those short yardage plays. If they wanted to pick up 4 yards on every down and just chip their way down the field, that is a recipe for winning this week. Keep the Ravens' offense off the field. I'm in no hurry to get in that end zone anytime. Anytime. You want to have a... First of all, you're taking the ball if you win the flip, right? Take it. Get the ball. We don't want to be down 7-0 before you know it. Take the ball if you win the flip. I don't... we got to have the ball short second half. No, you don't. Take the ball. Let Joe and the offense... Take their time. Be methodical. I know everyone wants to see a gigantic 50-yard touchdown pass. That was great. Joe Flacco returns. No, that's not it. Keep handing the ball off if you can get more than 3 yards a carry. Eat the clock. The lower the score, the better the chances the Browns have to win this week. We're talking about a team that continues on with the worst number of points per game after last year at 15 point, whatever it was. Stop. Slow it down. I'm in no hurry. I know people are like, oh, the Browns don't have any explosive plays. I must have heard that 50 times this week. And I'm like, are you guys nuts? We kept Joe Burrow off the field. He had 7 yards of offense. Joe Flacco, you keep doing your thing, baby. You keep going 5 yards. You keep going 4 yards. I don't care. Don't let their offense on the field. I'm not going to want to look at 824 yards again over two games.
It's just so hard to get points that way. It's so it every so often you need to be able to have that drive that's like three plays, 75 yards, boom, let's go.
No, we don't need that against the Ravens. We really don't need that.
You need
They're
points.
Just so antsy.
You've got to find points.
So take the ball first if you can get it first, or make sure you score on that first drive, even if it's 3 points. This is the problem with the Browns. Like, we're always like, you know how we always say they found a way to lose? They found a way to lose last week. They had the right recipe on offense. They had the right recipe on defense. And if they were able to execute the little things, like an extra point and a field goal, they walk away as a week one winner. Slow down. I'm in no hurry. Don't let the Ravens touch the ball. It's the three and outs that are going to kill you, bro. The three and outs are going to kill this team this week. They can't afford any of them.
So there's no part of you that felt any level of frustration watching that Bengal game and going, man, it'd be really nice if we could hit Jerry Jeudy for a 50-yard shot here, or even just a 25-yard run. Something that makes the defense not continue to creep that dome down onto your offense. Something that makes it that you can spread it out a little bit more.
Dan, they held Joe Burrow and his two top wide receivers to less than 60 yards last week. Is that defense? Of course it's defense.
Yeah, it's the defense being
awesome. But if he doesn't have the opportunity to try to find them on those plays because he's not on the field, if you think the offense did enough to win last week, with the exception of the kicking game, then they had the right game plan. Flacco's not kicking extra points. Jerry Jeudy is not kicking field goals.
I'm aware, but boy, wouldn't it have been nice to not be in that situation because you scored touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm down with it, man. I want them to score every time they have the ball, but I know better this week. 824 yards of total offense against the Browns. The last time we played the Ravens, 437 yards. We're not going to win if we walk down that street. We are not winning a shootout against the Baltimore Ravens. We are not. We're not putting 40 on the board. You're going to trust a team that was dead last in the NFL last year with less than 16 points per game.
I'm not saying
to go score 40, to go score 30.
I'm not saying 40 or 30 on the board. I'm saying, isn't there a small part of you that watched that offense last week against the defense that we don't think is going to be very good and think, oh, man, 35 yards right about here would be pretty nice.
It'd be nice
to get a good catch and run to Jerry Jeudy where he makes a dude miss, and all of a sudden he's 40 yards down the field. Like, there's no part of you that sees the rest of the league doing this and going,
I hear you.
Why can't I do that?
I don't care about the rest of the league. I care about the Browns. The Browns put themselves in a position to win last week, and if they don't have big plays, it's good for this team because that way you can run a 9, 10 to 12, 13, 14-yard drive and eat the clock. Eat the clock. Can't say it enough. 216-474-0092. That's how you get in the show. When we come back, we're going to talk to Merrill Hodge, former running back, right here, Baskin and Phelps with Dan.
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Met again. Merrill Hodge is going to join us coming up here at 11:20. We're going to talk to him. Particularly, you want to talk to him about running backs, don't you?
I want to ask him about running backs, especially with the whole Judkins situation and how quickly you can get up to speed. I'm fascinated by that.
Merrill Hodge coming up in a little bit. Plus, we'll have Tom McCarthy, who's calling this week's game on television on the NFL on CBS. That is 11:40. So he'll be joining us shortly here in just a few moments. I'm looking forward to talking to both those guys. Next hour, Chris Ostenheimer, super friend of the show, Chronicle Telegram, and the other super friend of the show, Tim May, will join us right after that. So we're going to talk Guardians, the legend. Yeah, and then we'll talk Ohio State as the Buckeyes get set to take on the Bobcats of Ohio. And that is tomorrow afternoon. That is a 3:30 kick, I think, for Ohio State and Ohio. And then, see, they are off, and then they go to Washington. That'll be an interesting game. They still haven't announced a kickoff time for that. There's no way that game starts any earlier than 3:30. If Fox makes that a noon kickoff, kickoff, there's just no way. That's not happening.
I always
right?
feel bad when that was starting to happen last year for USC and like UCLA. And, well, not as much UCLA. They weren't very good last year. But USC, like, I always felt bad because it's like, hey, here's a 9 a.m. kickoff.
Yeah, why would any? No one's doing that. JV teams don't even play that early.
Yeah. It's
JV games
silly.
Kick off at 10 for the most part, I think. 10, 10:30, 11, depends on what school.
Yeah, I hope that's a 3:30 kick. Mm.
All right, Merrill Hodge is going to join us here in a second. We were talking about the Browns-Ravens game going into this, and you know, a lot of things to get to in this game. Dan and I have conflicting theories on this game. He really wants the Browns to start throwing the ball downfield. I'm like, man, take 3 yards, 3.5 yards per play, and be super happy, and that's how you have a chance to win the game. Slow it down. Matthew is in Gates Mills. Hello, Matthew.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's the word in Gates Mills?
Hey, man. I was just going to touch on what you were talking about earlier. You were talking about how the fans, you know, there's a lot of, not a lot of young fans in there. I just want to let you guys know. I'm 20 years old. I've been a fan as long as I can remember. I'm going to be 21 at the end of September here. Mm-hmm. And my dad was one of the, what's that?
I said, good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. My dad was one of the biggest fans. He passed away when I was 15, but he was like so explosive about rivalries in the AFC. And I think that looking at this game as the 30th anniversary, I think it's a kick in the teeth. And I think that we need to, I think that the players, like what they were saying the other day, like Grant Delpit talking about, or I forgot who it was, but they were talking about, you know, kicking their teeth and having Derrick Henry not getting any runs.
Yeah.
Listen, man, that's the energy I want to go into this game. This is a kick in the teeth for us, I think, as the Browns fans. And, you know, obviously I'm not that old to know like how it felt when
That doesn't matter. Like, I wasn't saying the Browns don't have young fans. What I'm saying is that tradition is what keeps it alive. Like, right? And it's I'm not trying to be super philosophical, but it's more than football. You know, you said your dad passed away when you were 15, right? And I'm sorry for that, but doesn't the Browns give you that connection still, that no matter what, you know, that he's still sitting there with you if you're still rooting for the Browns, right?
Right.
Yeah, I get it. I feel the same way. I think about my dad every time I watch the Browns kickoff, every time. And that's why, I mean, I got to tell you, Matt, it's really easy for you to walk away from being a Browns fan. Would have been super easy. They've given you really not a lot to cheer about in your entire lifetime.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So, all right, Matthew, hey, thanks for sharing. Appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Guys. Keep it up, man.
There you go. Matthew and Gates Mills. Yeah, I'm just saying, it's why you get emotional. That's why I was talking about Ken. Ken had a guy call this morning that was crying. Mm-hmm. He was crying over it. I mean, get over it. I'm so tired of looking at, I quit looking probably after, I don't know, 16, 17, 3 days a week, 2 weeks at social media. I'm just kidding. I just quit looking at social media at one point because people were like, you know, they were saying, oh, you're being a whiner, you're being this. No, I'm a fan, man. The other thing that kind of bothers me now is that we feel like I hear these people call and go, oh, we're Browns fans. We. No, it's not we, it's I when you're doing that. And, you know, you're trying to get a feel for, I mean, we're sitting in an ivory tower here talking about what's going on. And, you know, we're just trying to get a feel for what people are saying. And sometimes Dan and I, we have to check ourselves because we get like this big, sometimes emotional gush that comes through the phone lines. And we're like, is that it? Or is that the people that cared enough to pick up a phone and dial our number? Are they in the majority, the minority, or where are they at? Bottom line is, chances are, if you're listening to us, you're a Browns fan or you're a Ravens fan looking for some, you know, something to quote us about so you can go back and tell your Ravens friends, I was listening to the radio in Cleveland and this is what they were saying. I got a buddy of mine. I meant to tell you this early in the week. Jeff and I are both friends with him. And he was telling me that I got to find it. It's on my phone here. Here it is. He gave me a play-by-play of what they were talking about on Baltimore radio over there. I'll call him CM. CM was telling me, he said, so far for this past hour, that he was listening to the Ravens and he was listening to Baltimore Sports Radio, I should say, and they were talking about it. He said that in this like 10-minute period where he was listening, they said they were talking about how the defensive coordinator would be fired by the bye week, that Harbaugh needed to go because he was boring and predictable. This was their callers. That the Ravens have no pass rush and a guy like Flacco can pick their defense apart. I love that. That made me feel good. Then somebody called in and said the Browns suck and they're not worried about them. Ha 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 ha. And that the Ravens don't have that guy like Garrett or Watt who can be a closer. And that the Ravens always need to be closing and they can't take their foot off the gas pedal. I just thought it was interesting. He was kind of giving me a lowdown of what was going on.
Well, it tells you that everybody's always complaining about their football team. That no matter how good you are, you're still looking at it and you're seeing the flaws. While, you know, everybody else is focusing in on the positives, you're still seeing the flaws. Like, that's what always tells me. I mean, you could do that with any team. You could turn on Kansas City radio right now and they're freaking out about the fact that the defense isn't where it needs to be if they want to win the Super Bowl. And that the offense is kind of sputtering a little bit in the Chargers game, and they want to see what it looks like this week. Mm-hmm. You could turn on Philadelphia radio, and they're losing it because they saw their defense without Jalen Carter and went, oh my God, we can't get a pass rush. And now we have to go sign Za'Darius Smith. Like, that's every single team going. We're the same way with the Browns. A chunk of us were looking at the defense. We even heard it this week at one point. People going, well, you know, Chase Brown was still able to run the ball a little bit in that first drive. We got to shut that down, too. Like, you have that when you're paying attention to your team. Everybody hates their head coach. There are people who want to fire Andy Reid in Kansas City.
Yeah, everywhere.
Everywhere.
It never stops.
Everybody hates their head coach.
No one is ever satisfied. Madden. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, everybody sits there with their controller in their hand and plays Madden. And so you sit there watching TV going, timeout, timeout, timeout. Why is he not calling a timeout? This guy's horrendous. Fire him. Like, we all do it. Like, that doesn't shock me when it comes to Ravens radio. That doesn't shock me in the slightest with this stuff. Like, we're all that way. We're all looking to get our teams to be absolutely perfect and have them win. And it's the same way I feel when it comes to the Browns and looking at this team and with the defense and with looking at it from the offensive side. It's like, I want this offense to be better because I want to score points because points win games. Playing ball control offense, yeah, it can work every so often. But at some point, your defense will look at your offense and go, you can't score. Why am I busting my hump? We've seen that before with a Browns defense where they've been like, we're really good and you're not. So why am I going absolutely full bore when you're like, eh? That's why I look at it this way.
Let me just kind of flip this around a little bit too. Going back and talking about this game. How do you take the Bills and what the Bills did to the Ravens as a sign of either how bad is their defense or how good is Josh Allen? And you look at that from that angle. And I'm sitting here trying to contemplate, is that defense, did the defense, like the fans that had said, hey, you always have to finish. You always have to kind of figure out how you're going to win. And they did not finish last week. The Ravens didn't. I mean, you can't give up 20-plus points in the fourth quarter and expect to win. I also kind of, it's a fumble that changed the game, right, in that fourth quarter. And that allowed the comeback in that contest. And so now I'm trying to kick that around.
I think what's going to end up coming with this, I want to see what this Ravens defense looks like because I wonder how much of what we saw was Josh Allen and just Josh Allen being awesome. You know, that's the thing that will blow me away with that dude is, I mean, he's just a one-man cheat code. So I kind of look at this Ravens defense and wonder, like, okay, are there points to be had? Is this pass rush not where it needs to be? Or is it just Josh Allen being a superhero?
All right, let's talk a little bit more about this big game. And, you know, the football season is here. From tailgates to home gates in the backyard, fans across the country are gearing up to cheer on their favorite teams with food, friends, and fun. And here to give us some top tips for making the most out of the game and game day, former NFL star, the pride of Pocatello, Idaho, he is Merrill Hodge. Hi, Merrill, how are you?
Merrill, how you doing?
Dan, that's the first time I've Pocatello, Idaho has led the charge in the introduction. So well, thank you for that.
I was at one point the voice of the Montana Grizzlies, so there we go.
Really?
Yeah, I did TV and I did a lot of Lady Grizz stuff too while I was out there. So whenever I see Big Sky Brethren, I will always cheer for you, even though you played for the Steelers. So that's tough here in Cleveland, okay. But we're good
that's
with
okay.
it. How
that's
are you doing?
Okay.
How are you, my friend? How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm fantastic, brother. Thanks for having us.
Well, good. All right, so I got to tell you, a lot of like little bit of controversy here among the fans for this week's game because, you know, the Ravens decided that they were going to celebrate their 30th anniversary against the Browns in the first week of the season. And then, by the way, my friend who played for the Steelers, they are going to celebrate their Super Bowls against the home games against the Steelers. I know it gets the fans riled up, but I don't know what does that do for the players.
Irrelevant. It's irrelevant. The fans, I know it's irrelevant. Absolutely irrelevant.
All right. Well, I guess that answers the story.
Solves that problem for me. Merrill, you played running back in the NFL for a good period of time. The Browns are in a situation where Quinshon Judkins was not in camp with the team, but is in the active roster practicing during the week. How long does it take for a running back to get up to speed?
Well, it depends on what you're going to ask of him. If he's going to be just a predominant runner, and that's how you're going to use him, which I would assume they would probably just do that with him, then you take a lot of the workload away from him, from understanding, you know, pressures, coverages, you know, formations, your responsibility, pass protection. You know, you take that off his plate, and you just make him a runner. And you build packages around that. Doesn't mean you can't throw the football, but when you do it, you know, it'll be simple things. You wouldn't overload him. So I think he can be productive and helpful in areas that matter, you know, and that's running the football. Being a complete asset to the team, you know, it might take a month or so.
Merrill, just your thoughts on the Ravens going into this thing, because, you know, most of us around here think they're the best team in the NFL, or arguably the best team in the NFL. Just, you know, what happened to them on Sunday night against the Bills? I don't know. It was a great game as a fan just to watch from the outside, but your thoughts on the Ravens?
Well, I use them as an example. Like, you know, I tell people all the time, if you're going to win in our league consistently, here's the two things you have to have, and this is historically true for over 100 years. You got to control the tempo of the game, and you got to win the turnover battle. If you do that, you have about a 90% chance to win the game, and that's what the Ravens do. So, you know, control the tempo, what does that mean? Okay, that's why running the football is such a critical component, and making your opponent, you stopping the run on your opponent, because now you control the environment. I dictate how I'm going to throw the football, when I'm going to throw the football. Your pressures become irrelevant to me. But now I put you in a bad spot. You can't run the ball. Now all you're doing is throwing it. Now you are vulnerable. And so once you could, and they do that. They literally have been doing that for years. And then they're building their quarterback in the process to make him dangerous in every phase. And that's what allows them to be the type of team that you talk about, you know. And I think if you go back to their loss in Buffalo, it came down to turnovers.
Right.
You know, they did everything. But the turnover, I think they've lost the turnover battle, because that's such a critical component in winning in our league. It's just so – it's the only stat that matters, actually, is zero. All those other stats people want to get into, irrelevant to helping you win and lose game. The problem with that stat is you don't get it till the end of the game. You know, you don't get it going into it, going, hey, we're going to get one or we're going to lose two. You know, you don't get that. So that was what makes them so great and makes them hard to beat.
Merrill Hodge joining us on the Fan Hotline. You're talking about how important it is to control the ball and all that stuff. How important is it as well to have your offense find those 20-yard chunk plays, 25-yard chunk plays along the offense?
Okay, so now you're talking about the different phases to your team, which the Ravens have that. You know, they can run the football strong side, weak side, so they got a lot of phases in their running game. What way they throw the ball, too, they have phases. They're short, intermediate, and vertical, and every team needs to be explosive. I'll use the Detroit Lions. When they started to get better after a couple of years, they got things buttoned up, man. They ran the ball well. In fact, I call them the Ravens of the NFC. They were committed to the running game. They still are committed. Their passing game was short to intermediate, though. You know, they had no explosiveness in it. Once they added that layer of it, that's when they actually came together. Their quarterback really, he matured and developed. And when you look at that with the Ravens, they have all of that. And then they have that wicked weapon at quarterback. You know, just he's a problem. I just don't know how to describe it. And then, you know, so they have so many phases, which is another key to winning championships. You can't be one-dimensional. I'll go back to that. You know, controlling the tempo. If I neutralize some of the things that you do well, or I neutralize the thing you really do well, and I make you win with the thing you don't do well, okay, that's how you got a chance to beat teams like that. But teams that have a lot of phases and they trust things and they have strengths in different areas, can't take everything away, that's what makes them really, really, really potential champions. And that's what the Ravens have evolved into.
Hey, Merrill, just to take on the AFC North, just your thoughts on Aaron Rodgers and Pittsburgh. And, you know, I don't know if you can take a whole lot out of week one, but just your thoughts on how that's going to mesh for the rest of the season.
I think you take two things away. Aaron Rodgers is still elite. People who were worried about him coming to Pittsburgh talked about everything off the field. It had nothing to do with inside the field. Inside the white lines, he still is as freakish and as elite as anybody in the history of our game, period. If our offensive and defensive line areas don't get better, it doesn't matter, though. Just you have to play better in that area. They can't play like that. I mean, good gosh, we just talked about the Ravens. They're going to see twice. You cannot play like that.
you can't win like that. You know, when you get smashed around in the trenches, you just, well, go back to the only reason they won is because of that turnover. They don't get the turnover, they don't win that game, you know, because of the trench loss. And your quarterback played great. So he couldn't even offset it. That's how critical it is. So they'll have to play better there, and you'll get a good test this week because Seattle's very similar. They're going to come in and test those things, and you'll see if they got better.
Merrill Hatch joining us. I mean, we've got a week of football ahead of us as well, including a Super Bowl matchup. And, you know, one of the best things with this is food. What are you feeding some people that are coming over to watch these games?
We're not even going to feed. We're not going to start feeding you food. We're actually going to entertain you with a little bit of a humidor. Okay, the Bovada humidor is a must game day thing. I'm telling you, a lot of people like cigars, so this is a big deal. You know, the humidor with a patent two-way humidity control and sleek design of $299. It requires no maintenance, unlike conventional humidors. And this humidor comes with a one-time seasoning to get you set for the first 6 months, and it comes up with an auto-replenishment option. And then Nuggets get to the food.
Yeah.
Hellman's, the reason people come together is for the snacks and the game, but having a great dip, I think, is critical. And Hellman's Disappearing Buffalo Chicken Dip is the secret ingredient, is Hellman's mayonnaise. You can get that recipe at hellmans.com.
Hey, Merrill, hang on a second. I got to stop you for 1 second. Because somebody who lived here and then moved to Montana – and then came back, and you're somebody from Idaho. When you were younger, like, I remember the commercials. The commercials, when I lived here, they were like, bring out your Hellman's and bring out your best. That same, and then I moved out there, and it was bring out your best foods and bring out your same thing. It was just weird how it was on both sides. Obviously, this is a Hellman's part of the country, but I always thought that, like, that blew me away when I first moved out west, just so you know.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that's interesting. Cool. Listen, I'm going to get to the best part about that Hellman's stands out from the dips. You know, here's how it stands out, is it's not oily and separate, so it holds up through the heat and time and stays craveable from kickoff to the final snap. And you know when a dip gets bad after about an hour, well, that's 3 to 4 hours, and Hellman's dip is still kicking. And then Gordon cheese. It's a comfort food, unites us all. And my favorite is you make your grilled cheese bar, and that means you add things like meat, avocados, onions to your cheese, and you got to be creative, but that is key. And then there was a grilled cheese survey showed 1 out of 4 Americans prefer using mayonnaise instead of butter for grilled cheese crust. Mm. And this room was actually 2 for 2. And who doesn't like a grilled cheese with Borden American cheese melt, or add Borden jalapeno? It's better with Borden. And then you got to watch the game. So an LG OLED live 83-incher, as big as they come, on all kinds of sizes underneath that. They're beautiful. And then the secret play of the day, I'm going to throw an ice cream cake on you. Ooh. With Carvel game ball cake. These cakes are available at most major grocery stores. All you got to do is go to iloveicecreamcakes.com to pick it up, and you have a little bit of everything, and people are going to love you and come to your tailgate each and every weekend.
There you
That's
go.
That's good living.
Merrill, thank you. We appreciate it. Love to have you back on anytime you want, and go Big Sky, anytime. My friend. Go
Get
Big Sky.
Me. Love you, Big Sky.
Friends, it's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima. Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show. Your way and on your time.
Hi.
Take it. Take Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan is in today for Jeff. We are getting set for Sunday's game against the Ravens. You'll be able to watch that game on CBS. Tom McCarthy and Ross Tucker, our favorite Brown that was here for a training camp of all time. So Tom McCarthy, you know, he stepped in when we were trying to figure out what was going on, and our thoughts and prayers still for Jim Donovan and what happened. Tom did a great job stepping in for the folks here in Cleveland as he did some play-by-play for the Browns along the way, and we always appreciate his time. He is Tom McCarthy, and he is on the Fan Hotline. Hi, Tom. How are you?
How you doing, Tom?
I'm great. Great, guys. What's going on?
You are. Man, you're in the hot seat this week with Browns fans who are going to be listening to every word you have to say because the Ravens decided they wanted to celebrate their 30th anniversary shoplifting the team from Cleveland, my friend.
Well, you know, it's funny because, you know, we were talking to them about that, and I know I know that they planned this even before the schedule came out, so they had all these different, you know, things set up, and then all of a sudden it was the Browns that were the home opener. So I'm sure they thought, oh man, maybe we should, but there's nothing they could do about it again. So
no. So, and I want to remind our listeners that will be listening to you on television as well, that Tom has nothing to do with the bump shots. Tom is there to make sure that, you know, everybody knows what's going on. It is not a reflection of how he feels about the Browns. He's doing, you know, what the producer's putting on the air for him. So, because you realize that every time they show anyone that played for the Ravens over the last 30 years, Browns fans are going to be like, oh!
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, I mean, that's, listen, I get it. I mean, it is emotional. It there's no doubt about that. But, you know, these games have been pretty good these last couple of years, yeah, obviously. Yeah. So let's hope it can live up to it.
Yeah, just remind Ross every time that he played for the Browns, even if he didn't make it to a game, he still played for the Browns. And that's how we'll always look at him.
His story about that is actually very entertaining. So hopefully he'll tell it a little bit, too.
He's awesome. All right, so let's get into the game. We got two teams that found unique paths to lose week one.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts?
Well, yeah. I actually thought the Browns played really well against the Bengals, and it's a shame that they didn't pull that one out, quite frankly. You know, obviously they outdistanced them in a lot of statistics, and, you know, I thought the rookies played really well, which was awesome. And, you know, the Ravens game, I mean, they were up 15. I mean, it's 17 double-digit fourth-quarter losses for John Harbaugh, but he's also been in a lot of those games where they've been up by double digits, so right. That says a lot for them, too. I'm looking forward to the division. I'm looking forward to see, you know, whether Quinshon plays, you know, what his deal is. I think Dylan Sampson played really well. I thought he looked excellent. I thought Fannin looked really good as well. So, you know, and Joe coming back to Baltimore is also part of the storyline too.
What impressed you most watching the defense of the Browns last week go up against the Bengals?
I thought the couple things that I thought were really impressive. I thought that Carson played really well as the, you know, in the middle there. I thought he showed not only season, he showed experience for a rookie. He was right around the ball the whole time. I thought that was really good. I thought the pressure was good on Burrow. Obviously Miles is in a league of his own, and I think he's able to do a lot of different things. But I thought they did a nice job. I mean, Burrow's not easy, you know, and I know that when Miles hit him, he did complete that pass, but you're still in his grill all the time. But to me, you know, not having JOK out there, the fact that Carson was able to play the way he played, I think went a long way to sort of, you know, help everybody realize that he's got some ability. I thought Mason played well at the D-tackle position. You know, so I think that's good. I think that's something to build on as they go into this. It's going to be a tougher task, obviously. You know, it's tougher to tackle Derrick Henry. It's tougher to make sure Lamar stays in the pocket. But I think that they showed some really good, you know, abilities in the first game.
Tom, can you touch on the storyline of the Browns as far as rookies are? I mean, we could see, you probably will see at least five Browns rookies in significant or starting time between Harold Fannin, Judkins, Sampson, Mason Graham, and Carson Schwechter has been lighting it up.
Yeah, I think that I know it's frustrating that they keep sort of turning things over and playing all these rookies, and you're hoping that it stabilizes eventually and they get themselves some season and they stay for, you know, 4 or 5 years and they're part of something great. But I think I do think that they drafted well when it comes to the defensive part of it with Graham and Schwechter. And I do like, you know, what they did on offense with Dylan. I mean, he's the youngest player in the league, and I know it's, you're playing against a really seasoned team with the Ravens, but if they can show the same ability they showed against the Bengals, then it's going to be competitive.
Tom McCarthy joining us. You'll hear him on CBS's call of the Browns-Ravens game, 1 o'clock on Sunday on your local CBS affiliate. Tom, the defense of the Ravens, is it a concern, or is Josh Allen just a superhero?
I think Josh Allen's a superhero, quite honestly. I really do. I mean, I do think there's a concern only because they have a rookie and a third-year player basically playing next to Roquan Smith, sort of rotating. But I still think their defense is really good. I mean, it's a lot of yards to give up, though. I mean, last year they were ninth in the league in points scored against. They were first in rushing yards against. And then they give up 41, and they give up 108 on the ground, and they give up 389 in the air. I just think it's Josh Allen. I think the concern is they're on the field for 37 plays in the fourth quarter and 87 plays overall. That's a lot. I don't know if the Browns can sustain that same, you know, sort of level.
And what are your thoughts on Joe Flacco this week? I it was weird because Jeff and I were sitting around and talking. We're like, man, Joe has not played in Baltimore since he played for them. I think it's a it's a crazy stat. And, you know, you can kind of reflect back on last week, too. But Joe's got to have some emotion going into this thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, he doesn't always show emotion. I mean, he's never done that. I mean, that's why he was called Joe Cool when he played for the Ravens.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he has to. I mean, it's also the 30-year anniversary, and he won them a Super Bowl.
We forgot about that.
I just went back and looked at some of his numbers from that Super Bowl year. But, yeah, he's got to have some emotion. I mean, all of his old teammates are going to be there on the sideline. And he's going up against a defense coordinator that was his teammate. You know, that's and he's still playing. I think it's awesome that he's still playing. I think it's just unbelievable.
What do you take, like, I'm still trying to figure out with this Browns team and how everything seemed to go wrong with it, like, on the, and I shouldn't even say wrong, and especially it's just like the kicking side of this, like, and I'm seeing kickers miss all over the place, Tom. Is this an epidemic going around the NFL, or is this just something we're so honed in on because we're in Cleveland?
My thought, well, I think you're honed in on it because you're in Cleveland, honestly, but I do think that there are guys that are missing. I mean, I did the Saints and the Cardinals game the other day, and there was a huge miss in that game. It was a block, but it was also, there was a miss too. And again, it's youth. I mean, Andre is a second year player, but you know, the Ravens have a rookie kicker. The Saints had the groupie kid from Notre Dame. I do think that there's something to the first week of the season. I think you see some of these hitches for some guys, even beyond the kickers. And I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's the first week of the season, even though most of these guys kicked in the preseason.
All right, Tom, we're going to let you go. I just want to remind Browns fans that when we see the anniversary stuff for the Ravens as a part of it, it's not Tom's fault. Repeat after me, Cleveland. It's not Tom's fault.
No, it's not my fault.
Tom is a good guy. We've had him call Browns games before.
It was awesome to work with calling a Browns games. I have to admit that part, too.
A great teammate for us at the Browns Radio Network, and we won't forget that every time the producer throws a video up there and stabs everyone in the stomach here in Cleveland, just so you know. Not Tom's fault.
It's not my fault. It's Ross's fault. Ross Tucker's fault.
Perfect. All right. We can't because he wore a Browns jersey. It's very hard, even though he didn't get to do it during a game. Maybe you'll get him to tell the story again during the game. That'll be awesome.
I'll try to. Yeah, I'll try to.
Hey, Tom, best of luck. Break a leg this week. And, of course, we always respect you. And thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, thanks, Tom.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.